Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrars Podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions related to the management systems certification industry. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjr.com/webinar or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to be getting started here in just a moment. My name is John Laffey. I am the Information Security Program Manager at Perry Johnson Registrars. And today we're going to be talking about what to expect during an ISO 27001 audit. What we're going to be talking about today is basically what an ISO 27001 audit is, what we as auditors are going to be looking at, what we're expecting to find, the types of things we may want to see above and beyond documentation, as well as the different types of folks that we're going to want to talk to and the subject material that we might be talking with them about. After that, we will, of course, have a question and answer session. If at any time you have a question during the presentation, please go ahead and type it into the questions tab, and I will be going through all those at the conclusion and answering to the best of my ability. All right, let's jump into documentation review. So this is something that's gonna happen at every ISO 27001 audit. Some key documents that I have listed here include your risk assessment procedure. That's gonna talk about how you conduct your risk assessment, how you evaluate risks, how you rate your risks, what the acceptable level of risk is, things of that nature. The statement of applicability is a huge one that your auditor is probably going to use kind of as a map throughout the audit, because that's going to tell us exactly what controls you have implemented. And if we're lucky, it's also going to have a reference to how it's implemented. So that helps us drive the audit process and keep it moving. Obviously, there's a number of policies required by the standard: encryption policies, access control policies, supplier policies. So those are going to be reviewed as well. Things like your internal audit procedure, we're going to want to understand how you're conducting internal audits, who can conduct them, things of that nature. The scope of your ISMS, especially at an initial certification audit, is going to be huge. We need to understand what's included, what's not, where the boundaries are, and what we're going to be looking at. Ultimately, though, anywhere in the standard where it says it requires documented information, expect that at some point during your audit, those documents will be requested to be reviewed. And a big reason that we rely on your documentation so much is because that's where a lot of the audit criteria comes from. A lot of what's in 27001 is not prescriptive. It doesn't tell you exactly how you have to do something, but you do have to tell us how you do it in your documents. So we need to reference those so we can understand your approach to implementing these controls and make sure that we're verifying the right things. Artifacts. So this is what we're going to want to see above and beyond documentation to actually give us confidence that you're doing what you say you do. So on this first slide here, I have some artifacts that are mostly documented records, but these would be things like results of a risk assessment. Could be a spreadsheet, it could be a tool, but something that shows us what was looked at, what risks were identified, what level of risk those were evaluated to be at, things of that nature. Hand in hand with the risk treatment plan, if there were risks that you've identified that required treatment, we're gonna wanna see what the treatment plan is, who's responsible for it, what the status of implementing that treatment plan is, things of that nature. We're always gonna be looking at the internal audit results, and management review meetings. Those are both required by the standard, and we're going to check those at every audit. Additionally, any metrics that you've defined that monitor and kind of measure the performance of the ISMS against your objectives, we're going to want to look at those. Commonly, we will look at, and this is with most ISO audits, records of employee training or competency verification. You know, for information security, it could be things like, ongoing awareness, security awareness training, things of that nature. So these are the kind of records that we would typically request during an audit, or an example of some, I should say. Other types of artifacts that would be more geared towards verifying that the controls are implemented effectively could be things like looking at user account permissions, you know, in Active Directory or Office 365 or Microsoft 365 or whatever platform you're using. We might want to see that certain disks or servers or storage environments that hold certain kinds of data are encrypted as required. So we need someone to pull that up and show that to us. We might want to check a few users' machines and just verify that antivirus is running and that it's up to date. Obviously, there's a control around background checks, so we'll take a sampling of hires and we'll want to verify that a background check was conducted. We might want to look at firewall configurations when we're looking at network security. Physical security devices. So before the pandemic, when we were actually in the office, we would always do an office tour. We'd look to see how all the doors are locked, if there's cameras, if there's additional locked doors once inside the premise for server rooms or things of that nature, battery backups, all those kinds of things. So now, obviously, with virtual auditing, what we typically do is have our clients walk around with a cell phone and show us everything via camera. But these types of artifacts are also what we're going to be looking for during the audit. Okay. The other main method of gathering evidence is by conducting interviews. So a big part of the interviews, especially at an initial certification audit, is just understanding the specifics of your organization, your environment, what systems are in use, how you guys go about your business. We can also gain an overall sense of awareness, right? So if we talk to some folks and we're talking about maybe if they're familiar with an information security policy or where they can find different documents related to the information security management system, you know, if they kind of indicate to us that they don't know what we're talking about, you know, that could be a concern. As far as the roles that we typically interview during the audit, leadership or top management, that's going to be part of every audit. There's an element to the standard of you know, commitment from leadership. So we always have a short interview with the leadership team to kind of understand how they participate and contribute to the information security management system. We're going to spend a lot of time with subject matter experts or system administrators, right? So when we're verifying technical controls, we're actually going to need someone who can show us those configurations, who has administrative access to their systems and can share their screen, and we can verify encryption's enabled and, you know, what the key length is and the algorithm and all these different types of things. Human resources is typically going to be a part of every audit. So they typically play a role maintaining records of training or competency, not always, but where they also come in is the onboarding process usually feeds into the user account creation process. So we always like to understand from HR's perspective, when a new hire comes on, how do you communicate to IT that they need access? How do you tell them specifically what access levels are needed, what systems, what permissions, things of that nature? On the flip side of that, we always like to ask them about offboarding. Obviously, it's a point of interest for information security to understand how user accounts are disabled at offboarding. And that would go both for a planned, you know, 2-week notice offboard or an unplanned, someone's getting walked out today at noon. So we always like to talk to HR and have them walk us through those processes. It could be also in your own ISMS documentation, you have to define roles and responsibilities. So those folks who have named roles and related responsibilities in the ISMS, we're going to want to talk to them about what they're responsible for, make sure they understand it, have them walk us through how they approach and meet those requirements. And then all staff at large, everyone who's in the scope in general, is always subject to be interviewed. We'd like to take a random sampling of staff from different areas. You know, we don't just want to talk to IT the whole time. We'd like to talk to other folks too. There's a number of things in the standard that really apply to all staff. You know, that would be things like understanding who or how to notify someone if they see something information security related that looks like a concern or they've seen something that's happened. If they lost their laptop, for instance, how do you report those kinds of things? The standard talks about having different classifications of information. So if you have, let's say, three different classifications of information, and we're going to want to talk to folks and say, how do you know if something is, let's say, it's confidential or public or company confidential, whatever the case may be, there's certain things that all folks need to have an understanding of. So when we do sample staff at random at that, we usually ask them those kinds of things. We're also typically interested to know if not that they have their policy, the company policies memorized, but do they know where to find them? If they needed to look it up, can they show us? Things of that nature. So again, I kind of want to drill down. I know I kind of did already, but for each of those different groups of people, the kinds of things that auditors might ask them. Again, for leadership, how they promote and support the ISMS, and how they participate in it. We also like to confirm that the strategic direction of the organization is aligned with the information security direction, if you will. You know, that's kind of a way of saying if your information security management system says you want to protect everything and ensure there's no breaches and, you know, ensure that your client's data is protected, we wouldn't expect a strategic direction of we're not worried about security, we just need to grow right now. We'll come back around and bolster things up when we get the chance, things like that. And we also like to understand how information leadership is kept informed about information security. Do they attend those management review meetings? Is there a designated individual who kind of liaise information to top leadership regarding information security when necessary? So just to get a feel for that they're involved and that it's not something that they've just kind of put off on another group or another person and said, you're responsible for this, right? This is a concern of the entire organization and everybody needs to participate in information security. As I mentioned as well, system administrators or subject matter experts confirm their understanding of documented policies and procedures. So when we do that document review and we read, you know, you guys say, this is how you handle encryption or access control. Okay, so then when we talk to the folks who are actually responsible for doing those things, does what they say match up? Or do they point to those procedures? Or do they say something different? And if so, why? And then we need to investigate that. Again, as I mentioned, we're going to need to see, you know, screen shares of system configuration, user account permissions. You know, sometimes it's tickets, so we can follow an audit trail of how a user account was created or why it was given the permissions it has. Things of that nature, as well as explain to us as auditors the specifics of again, what your organization's using and how those meet the requirements of the control objectives of the standard. There's a lot of different ways to approach these controls, and it changes all the time. So we take a very open-minded approach, and as long as you can explain to us how what you use is meeting those objectives, that's great. Again, I know I touched on this as well, but with human resources, of course, we're going to want them to talk to the policies and procedures that relate to their job and what they do. And again, those HR-specific controls, how are those being implemented? The evidence of training and competency, and the onboarding and offboarding process. And then all staff confirm their understanding of the documented policies and procedures, specifically the ones that apply to their roles. I wouldn't necessarily expect someone who works in customer relations to be able to tell me how to create a user account, right? It doesn't relate to what they do. So we're not going to be looking to see that they have everything memorized. Again, only those things that apply to their job and their task. And as I mentioned before, make sure they know how to report incidents. That's a big one that everyone should be able to speak to. And lastly, typically we'll just kind of ask them to tell us in their own words how their job impacts or could impact information security. That's again just to kind of see that there's that awareness level there, and that that's on their mind and it's something that's been presented to them before. All right, and that's it, guys. I kind of flew through that. I apologize. So I hope there's lots of questions, because I would love to stick around and hopefully give you guys some more answers on some specific information you might be interested in. So please feel free to type those questions in, and we will hang out for as long as it takes, and I'll be happy to answer all of them. Also, if you're not comfortable in this forum format, you can reach out to me directly. My email address is on the slide there, jlaffy@pjr.com. You can call our headquarters at 800-800-7910 and ask for information regarding 27001. Or please feel free to ask questions in the applet or GoToWebinar right now. All right. Maxine is asking, what are the required training and competence for the standard? So Maxine, the standard says that you have to define what the required competencies are for your staff and for those people who could affect the information security of your organization. So when I say that, typically what I'm talking about is, you know, if you have a job description, if you're looking to hire a systems administrator and it says that they need, I don't know, a certain college degree or X amount of years of experience with these systems, we're going to want to see evidence that their resume or you have done education verification on them. Something on file that says, this is how we felt comfortable that this individual met our requirements as far as competency and training. Another part of that is security awareness training. It's typically something we like to see on an ongoing basis. Right, so it could be annual, semi-annual, usually also happens at onboarding. That's going to be that training that kind of introduces them to your information security policies and expectations and where to find the documentation and who to talk to if you have concerns and all that kind of stuff. You know, above and beyond that, we have clients who do like phishing training where they do they launch phishing campaigns that aren't actually phishing campaigns, but they monitor and see if anybody clicked the link so they can give them additional training. Things of that nature. So I hope that answers your question. Mohammed asks, is it a typical process of stage one and stage two audit? Mohammed, as I understand that question, and I may not be understanding it correctly, it is typical to have a stage one and stage two audit as your initial certification. That first audit that you're going to get certified is going to be two parts. The stage one is an auditor just looking to see, okay, did they miss anything major? Did they miss the boat at or misunderstand a major part of the standard requirement? We want to make sure that your system's implemented to a place where we're going to have something to look at stage two instead of coming in and, oh, we don't have a statement of applicability. We haven't done a risk assessment. We didn't realize that we needed to do that. That's not going to give us a chance to even audit the system. So stage one, confirm you're ready. Stage two, verify that you're doing everything you say you do. I hope that helps, and if not, feel free to reword that, Mohammed. David, I saw that 27001 is being updated this year. Which standard is Perry Johnson using, and when is the switch to the latest version? So, David, what is changing is 27002, which is a reference standard that talks, it contains all of the controls in Annex A. That is being updated. So I think they're going from 114 controls to 96. And the way they organize those right now, I think there's 13 or 14 different categories of controls, and they're going to change that to four. So it's pretty major change to the controls themselves as far as how they're organized. Once that has been published, 27001 will get an amendment that references the new control set. What that means to you is, once all that happens, typically there's a two-year transition period. So I would say aggressively, I can't see the new version being required prior to 2024, but we're still waiting for everything to actually be officially published, and then our accreditation body will give us guidance as to how we have to do the transition. But largely, you know, all the other management system requirements aren't changing, just the controls themselves. And from what I understand, a lot of it is materially the same. It's just kind of some stuff's been updated, the wording, the organization of the controls, but I don't think you're going to scrap your old version of 27001 NXA controls and have to start fresh. I think there's going to be a lot of overlap there. I hope that helps. Anybody else? Feel free. I'm not going anywhere. So any questions whatsoever, not specifically about this presentation, but 27001 in general, I'd be happy to help as much as I can. All right, more questions. Excellent. Mohammed, for the internal audit, do you need IT background or quality background will suffice? Again, it's up to you to determine that. What I would say as an auditor is that I think if you only had a quality background, it could be difficult to audit the Annex A controls that are more rooted in a technical nature. I'm not sure if someone with a quality background is going to be able to confirm if specific types of encryption are configured in certain environments, or look at a firewall or a piece of network equipment and verify that it's meeting your guys' requirements. So I think a quality person who's familiar with ISO auditing could certainly take part, especially in maybe more of the management system side of things, but they probably need to be augmented by someone or a few folks who are technical. And I mean, I'm not saying this is required, but I think taking some kind of ISO 27001 internal auditor or foundational or any kind of course like that can be hugely beneficial, just to maybe help you feel more confident about what some of the requirements really mean. Again, I can't say for certain, but if you just had a quality guy doing your internal audit, we come in, your internal audit says everything's great, and we find 10 or 12 problems, we're probably going to say, you know what, your internal audit program's probably not that effective either. So any insight about impact of new ISO 27002 expected in next few weeks? Saber. I honestly, ISO moves at their own pace, and I'm not on any kind of technical committee, so I am still waiting for it to be officially published. And I wouldn't expect, again, I think it's at least a year or two out before any 27001 certified companies are going to be required to change over to the new Annex A control set. Rhonda, I believe you mentioned we will receive the slides. How do we get them? Yes, so on our website, www.pjr.com, we have a training link. And on that page, there is a link for past webinar slides. They will be there. They probably aren't there right this second, but they should be there in the next 24 hours. And you can grab them from there. All right. Any other questions? Oh, you're welcome, Rhonda. Mohammed, what other training do you recommend for internal auditors? I think just an internal auditor course, or depending how much you want to invest, you could even put them through a formal 27001 lead auditor course. But again, I didn't want to give the impression that either of those things are necessary. You know, it's up to you guys to determine in your internal audit procedure, you know, what the skill set, the background, the required competencies for your internal auditors are. And then we will evaluate how effective your internal audit was. If your internal audit, you know, seemed to find good things and you know, the number of findings from the internal audit kind of matches up with what we're seeing, then okay, it's probably effective. If there's a big disparity between what the internal audit found and what we found, we're probably going to take a closer look and say, you know, your internal audit process doesn't really seem to be working for you guys right now. You might need to make some changes. But again, I can't tell you that any training is required because it's not. It's really up to you and your organization to determine. Keep them coming though. This is my favorite part of these webinars is when I get to interact with you guys. So please send any and all questions you might have. JT, I see you have your hand raised. If you want to go ahead and just type the question in the chat, I'd be happy to answer it. Muhammad, again, is it the same process, major slash minor nonconformances like any other ISO audit? Yes, exactly, Muhammad. There's minor and major nonconformities for ISO 27001, just like the other ISO standards. For ISO 27001, a minor, it's going to be maybe a one-time lapse in following a procedure or policy that doesn't result in a major information security concern. A major would be either a number of things related to the same issue or a big miss, you know, that actually is presenting a major information security concern. But yes, it is the same process as the other ISO standards. All right, guys, any other questions? Muhammad, again, how long is the duration of the certification audit? So the certification audit, well, the audit time in general it's driven by a few factors. One is employee count, and then another is risk level. And then some things come into play, like if your organization does software development or not, because there's a section of controls that are specific to that. But it's largely driven by employee count. So depending on the number of employees and the scope of the system, it's going to drive the audit time. But if you're familiar with like ISO 9001, it's definitely more time than ISO 9001. So the shortest amount of time, even for a one-person company, and this is with no reductions being taken, is 5 days between the stage one and stage two audit. So if you have, you know, between I think it's 1 and 9 or 10 employees, the starting point is 5 days for your stage one and stage two combined. JT, do we get an email with 1 hour cert for today's session? I am not familiar or aware if this was advertised as like a continuing professional education type situation. I do not believe that we send out certs for participating in these, but I'm not positive because I really don't get to see that side of it. So
I'll jump in here, John. We do not offer certificates for the webinars at all. If you have a manager who wants to confirm that you attended, we can verify for them if they reach out. But we don't have any formal documentation that we can send out, like as a PDF sort of situation.
Thank you, Amy. Okay, well, if there aren't any more questions, I just want to thank everybody for joining today. Again, if you have any other questions that you didn't want to ask here, feel free to reach out to me directly or give us a call, and we'd be more than happy to help. Aside from that, I hope everybody has a great rest of your week. And take care. Thank you for joining.